something radical and start early. Ready to do that? So let's pray here. Okay. All right, Garrett. Good to see you, Garrett. David Baudette, nice to see you online here. Good to see all of you guys. Let's pray, and then let's get rolling here because I'm ready to go. So are you. Lord, thank you for your awesome goodness. Thank you for your great love for us. Thank you that, God, you have more for us than we could even begin to imagine. And so we're so grateful. God, we can't exhaust the amazing things that you have for us. So today, help us to embrace that, understand it, receive it, be glorified in all these things. Thanks, Lord. Amen. Amen. Come on, we're going to worship the Lord together. Come on, join us. Let's do it.
Thank you. took the weight of sin upon your shoulders and sacrificed your life so I could I'm I see angels, they're praising your holy name. I sing praises, I give you honor, worthy Jesus. And I see glory, it's falling in this place. And I see hope restored, the healing of all disease.
We're going to sing that song again. I know it's very different singing in your living rooms or maybe at your kitchen table, maybe even in your car. And I know it's been weeks of this, and it's I get that. And I know sometimes at home there's a lot of distractions, but I want to ask all of you, kids, dial in with me too. We're going to sing this song again, and let's just really focus on worshiping this worshiping through this song and allowing the Lord just to move with the power of his presence right now, right where we are, whether it's a car or, you know, whether we're sitting at a table watching this on our phone or in our living room or maybe in our bedrooms, wherever we're at, the power and the presence of God can embrace and touch you right there. So let's, as we sing this again, as Caitlin leads us, the band leads us, step into it. Everybody, come on, kids, teens, adults, let's step in. Let's sing it one more time. Come on, Caitlin.
I give you honor, worthy Jesus.
God just to enter in. And we're going to invite his presence into every facet of our situations in this quarantine. Life is really looking different right now, and it's looking relaxing for some and really stressful and devastating for others. But I think if we just stop right now and just say, God, I invite your presence into every area of this quarantine, every area of my life, that'll make a big difference. So let's do that one more time.
Of the glory, Lord. We praise you this morning, God. We thank you. We thank you for your presence in this place. Holy, holy.
What do we live for? We give you praise in all of the glory, God.
Lord, we thank you. We thank you this morning, God, that you're here with us, God, and we give you the glory. We give you the honor, God. Jesus, you did everything, God. Lord, you left everything for us, God. And this morning, in the midst of the world being upside down, God, we just come to your face, God, and we say, we love you. We welcome you in our homes, into our lives, God. We need you in our homes and our lives, God. We give you the glory and the honor that's due your name, Jesus. Everything we have is yours, God. Everything we have is yours, God. We just surrender right now. Join with me, people, and pray. Tell the Lord, I surrender it all, God. I don't know what to do in this moment, but you do, Jesus. You know everything, God. And you're way ahead of us, God. You're way ahead of us. You're way ahead of us in our salvation. You're way ahead of us in this moment, God. You're way ahead of us in our destiny, God. And I just thank you, Father, that you're a good dad. Your hand is always over us, God. Your hand is always guiding us, Jesus. And we praise you and honor you this morning. We look to you, God. We sit at your feet this morning. And we say, speak to us. Change our lives. Do something in us, God, that changes and shifts us to be more like you, God, to be like you in this world, God, I pray. Lord, this morning, you're not moved by sanctuary, no sanctuary. You are our sanctuary, God. Lord, your spirit is moving in homes right now. Families, as you listen, God is right there. The angels of God are in your homes, moving, protecting, advancing God's purposes in your life. Just tap into it. God, I just thank you. Join me as we pray this morning. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for wisdom for our family in this house as we start to open things up. That God would give us great wisdom and great power. He would show up. And protection and life. Let's pray. God, I just thank you, Lord, as the rumblings happening about things opening up and we're considering how to open up and what's the best things to do. Give us the measures that help to calm people's anxieties and fears in this moment. God, give us the measures that truly are wise and produce safety for people, God. But I also pray, God, that you would guide our hands to do it in the right timing. Everything will be done according to your will with great wisdom. God, you know all things, Jesus. Let us not move in fear or ignorance, but give us great wisdom and strength. And God, I just pray right now, just like you've protected us, God, and blessed people. I've heard so many stories, God, and I believe you're protecting us now. I pray for the wiping out of this virus, God. I pray that we just take authority over all sickness and death, God, because that's where you walk. You walk in life, God. And I pray that the families here and all the churches in this area, as they begin to open up, God, your presence and power will be present, moving and destroying all sickness and disease. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, I'm sorry about that. Good morning, everyone. Do you know that God has more for you today? Do you really know that? He has so much more. God always starts with the end in mind. God has been preparing all things to lead us not just to the cross, but through the cross, into a personal encounter with the Holy Spirit. We will all discover today on how to prepare our lives that we could experience infinitely more. In Ephesians 3, it says, "Now all glory to God who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than what we might ask or think." Welcome to the first week of the Infinitely More series. Over the next 5 weeks, as we follow the journey of Jesus, his teachings, his miracles, his declarations, we will discover God's ultimate plan for you and for me to live a spirit-lived life, experience infinitely more with him. From the very beginning of creation, God's nature is very clear. He has always starts with the end in mind. He always has a plan. He always has the answer. And he always sees infinitely more than what we might ask or think. While the opening verse of our Bible reads, "In the beginning," since the beginning of time, God has just been getting started on his well-thought-out plan of creation, redemption, and self and spirit empowerment for all who believe. And he knows that it's just the beginning for all that he has planned for you. Our lives constantly revolve around plans and preparation. We plan our day, our week, and our year down to every minute. Let's be honest. We just simply don't have time for mistakes. Our plans can be completely ruined because of one single unplanned moment, a child's lost shoe, a traffic jam that we go through, or a medical emergency. When things happen outside of our control, our world has a tendency to shut down. God has a plan from the very beginning to be with you and to be with me. In the book of Genesis, we find that God's living out this plan with Adam and Eve. He would walk with them and talk with them in the garden. It seemed like the perfect plan and the perfect setup for the first couple. But because of our single selfish act, sin was birthed into the world, and a perfect plan was no more. Thankfully, God's plan was made with plenty a room for the truth is that God had a plan to deal with sin even before it happened. He even let Adam and Eve in on his plan from the very beginning. God's plan is to lead us to the cross. God had a plan to crush the power and reality of sin from the very beginning. It's important to remember that Jesus was at the foundation of the world and was more than prepared to come as our Savior. The cross wasn't a knee-jerk reaction to sin. It was a rescue that had been planned from the beginning. The Old Testament continually shows us pictures of God's great plan to redeem mankind through Christ's sacrifice. We all know about Noah's Ark. We know about Abraham being tested to sacrifice his son Isaac. It points to a father that is more willing to send his son as a sacrifice to sin. The Passover and the lamb's blood point to Jesus, the perfect lamb whose blood would be shed for each of us and would protect us from spiritual death. Every activity and expression that has been lived out through humanity was a part of God's great plan and preparation to lead us to the cross, where Jesus would ultimately fulfill his purpose. John the Baptist had the unique honor of introducing Jesus and God's plan in the New Testament. In John chapter 1, it says that the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, he is the one that I was talking about when I said that a man is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. I did not recognize him as the Messiah, but I have been baptizing with water so that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John testified, "I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting upon him. I didn't know he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, 'The one on whom you see the Spirit descend and rest is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' And I saw this happen to Jesus, so I testify that he is the chosen one of God." You see, God's plan leads us to the cross, where Jesus removes our sin and restores our lost relationship. In Romans chapter 5, it says, "But God showed his great love to us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can rejoice in the wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God." I just want to praise God at this moment. I just want to thank him for his salvation plan. Lord, I just bless your name, Lord. We just glorify what you have done. You sent your son to die for us. And Lord, I just pray that people really realize the sacrifice that you have made for each and every one of us here that's in the service today. I just glorify your name in Jesus' name. But as this week's title reminds us, God's plan is to lead us to the cross was just the beginning. You see, God's had a plan to lead us through the cross. As if Christ's death and resurrection weren't enough, Jesus shows us that the cross was just the beginning. And his plan is to do infinitely more in us and through us. Remember the words of John the Baptist. He said, "I didn't know that he was the one. And when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, 'The one of whom you see the Spirit descend and rest on is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I saw this happen to Jesus, so I testify that he is the chosen one of God." Even before Jesus began his 3.5-year ministry journey, his plan to send you and me, the Holy Spirit, has already been in place. His journey to the cross and through the cross was for more than just getting you to heaven. His plan is to empower you to accomplish infinitely more than you might ever ask or think. But these are only the first steps, the beginning of the beginning. There is more in you. We are called to a life infinitely more than we have expected or planned. This requires us to answer the call and to be an active participant on God's team. In Ephesians chapter 3, it says, "Now all glory to God who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than what we might ask or think." I want to stress by letting you know that God sees infinitely more in you than you see in yourself. No matter how healthy your self-image is and how your self-esteem might be, God still sees more in you than what you see in yourself. That's because God created you with incredible potentials that he knows what you are capable of even when you don't. In the beginning phase of Jesus' 3.5 years of ministry, one of his first actions was to assemble a team. Today, we know them as the disciples. In all four Gospels, we see Jesus call men to join his team, not because of who they were, but because of the potential that he saw in them. Jesus saw infinitely more in them than they saw within themselves. In Luke chapter 5, it says, "One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch.' Simon answered, 'Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets.' When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats up so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' feet and said, 'Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man.' For he and all of his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And then Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people.' So they pulled their boats up to the shore, left everything, and they followed Jesus." What I love about this encounter with Jesus is that where he found him, he wasn't looking in the synagogues. He wasn't looking in the temple. He wasn't looking in the schools or where the priests had lived. He was looking for future world changers in the most ordinary of places. That should give you hope today to know that no matter what stage that you're living in or how far you think that you are from where God needs you, God has a purpose and a plan for your life that is infinitely more than what you are currently living. As we follow Christ's team-building journey, I want to look at one key character that Jesus calls out to do infinitely more. His name is Peter, also called Simon in the verses as we read, a fisherman who is living a life that is less than what Jesus sees in him. In this passage, and on multiple occasions, Jesus asked Peter to do things at a time that seemed totally ridiculous. Yet each and every time, Peter answers the call to Jesus with a resounding response of yes. In verse 4, Jesus tells Peter to cast his nets out again. What does Jesus know about fishing? Peter must have been thinking to himself, what advice can this carpenter-turned-teacher give me, a lifelong fisherman? Yet, here is Jesus challenging Peter to do something different. Peter even reminds Jesus that they've been fishing all night with no success. But there is something about Jesus that compels Peter to say yes and give it a try. I believe it was Peter's act of obedience that not only blessed his fishing, but it gave Jesus confirmation that Peter could be used to further his kingdom. So God is looking for obedience over ability. You might be sitting in church today thinking that you don't have the ability to be a world changer. You might be thinking, I'm just a stay-home mom. I'm just a banker. I'm not just a banker, a lawyer, a teacher, or a school bus driver. You fill in whatever the blank is. You might be thinking, I don't have a college degree. God is not concerned about your occupation or the plaques that are on your wall or even the level of your experience or what your resume looks like. He is looking for your faith and obedience to what he has planned for you. The greatest thing you can offer Jesus is your yes. God calls us outside of our comfort zone. On three different occasions, Peter was asked to step out of the boat. Each time, Peter is stepping out of what is comfortable to follow Jesus into the unknown. Little does he know that each time he steps out of the boat, he experiences infinitely more than what he could ever ask or think. Peter steps out of the boat to follow Jesus and becomes his disciple. He leaves the life of a fisherman to become a fisher of men. In Luke chapter 5, it says, then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore and left everything, and they followed Jesus. Peter steps out of the boat a second time during a storm to walk on the water towards Jesus. In Matthew 14, it says, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to him walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, Jesus said. And then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. Before taking his third step out of the boat, Peter experiences a significant personal failure. You see, in Luke chapter 22, it talks about, then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest, and Peter followed at a distance. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in firelight, and she looked closely at him and said, this man was with him. And he denied it. Woman, I don't know him, he said. And a little later, somebody else saw him and said, you are also one of them. Man, I am not, Peter said. About an hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter replied, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter, and Peter remembered the word that the Lord had spoken to him, before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Jesus has been arrested, and Peter's afraid of what might happen if it comes out that he is one of the disciples, so that he rejects even knowing Jesus. Because of fear of what might happen, he denies the master. he fails Jesus. And where do we see Peter go? Peter goes right back to what is comfortable and easy, and he returns back to his fishing boat. In John chapter 21, it says, I am going out to fish. Simon Peter told him, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Don't allow your failure to push you back into a comfort zone. God works so hard to pull you out of that. You and I will find ourselves in situations where we feel like we have failed God. Whether we do something out of fear or out of temptation, we all will fail God. However, failure is never a reason to give up. Failure is not a reason to go back to what is comfortable. But even if you have failed, find hope in knowing that Jesus is still calling you and still sees infinitely more in you. In John chapter 21, then the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it's the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. After seeing and hearing Jesus, Peter takes his third step out of the boat. Jesus goes after Peter once again and calls him out of the boat to live the life that he was always meant to live. Life more than just a fisherman. A life more than just an ordinary person. A life of infinitely more. Thankfully, Peter's failure didn't discredit him from being used by Jesus, and neither does our failure discredit us from being used by God. It's only when you show and allow your failure to fully disconnect you from God that it will keep you from living a life of infinitely more. When you and I recognize our wrongs and turn to God for forgiveness and restoration, we can still be used to accomplish his will for our life. Peter didn't know it at the time, but in just a short time, he would be pioneering the first church and leading thousands into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I just want to tell you a personal story right now. I don't talk about this story too often, but June 6, 1975, was a day that I had become a widower at the age of 23 years old. And I'd been married 1.5 years, and my first wife had passed away from ovarian cancer. 23 years old. I had taken a job a year earlier with her being sick in downtown New York City in a 60-story building right next to Madison Square Garden. I was one of the five hand-picked engineers, structural engineers, out of 350 people interviewed in this company, which was the number one engineering construction company in the world at the time. And God had provided me an awesome job opportunity. I was found at that point in time when my first wife passed away. I was taking these trips into Manhattan, and I was found alone to continue my career and to deal with the sorrow and the pain. I worked in New York City for 6 months, and during that time, I had a buddy tell me that I needed to get out and get a life. He worked as a disc jockey at a famous disco club, so I started to get into that scene, but having a Christian background, I knew I had to be careful in what I did and began to play with the world in terms that I felt was safe and not conflict with my Christian upbringing. I then had a job transfer to Carlsbad, California, and had an apartment on the ocean, and then the company was flying me back and forth every 3 weekends. I would come back and forth for 2 years between San Diego and New York. I would come home and visit my parents. But it was one of those weeks that girls from my church that I grew up with went to Evangel College. And they had become friends with this girl called Julie DeVries. I received a letter in the mail as a dear given to Julie, and I replied to it when I lived out in San Diego. And we both wrote for 3 years, and that was putting a lick in a stamp and putting on a letter. There was no email. It was actually waiting for the letter to come in the mail. I was the one responsible later on for stopping after 3 years because I still could not get over the sorrow that I was dealing with. I had become more involved in the disco scene, and the Motown music seemed to comfort me for a while. I even started dance lessons at Arthur Murray's in San Diego and began to win contests and earn some cash while I was working as an engineer during the day. So I had another move at that time to go to Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And I was working 4 days on a construction job, and then I had 4 days off. So one of the days that I had off, I would drive down to New Orleans and work as a DJ at the Hyatt Regency Hotel downtown New Orleans. Chaka Khan, Whitney Houston, all of these people used to come in there, and I was able to work in the back on as a DJ. So one night, I was on my way down to the club from Baton Rouge. I had about an hour's drive, and I was coming up to these railroad tracks to get it downtown New Orleans, and there on the track was a number of these big guys with overcoats and hats on, and they were stopping me from getting over the tracks. So they told me to turn around. So I said, okay, I knew another way that I can go 3 miles down and get across to get downtown New Orleans. So I drove 3 miles down, and I come up to the tracks to go over the train tracks, and right there was the same guys sitting with their overcoats and their hats, and they were telling me to turn around and go back. So I got kind of scared, and I drove all the way back up to Baton Rouge and got in my apartment, and I went to sleep that night. Well, I ended up having a dream about this girl that I'd been writing to that I hadn't written to for 3 years, and her name was Julie. And I was like laying in there, and I was getting this dream about her. And so the next day, I call her up, and I asked her, I said, hey, Julie, are you married yet? And she said, no, but she's been dating a guy for 9 months. Well, I'd like to come up and see you the next, it was like 2 weeks later, I was going to come up and see her, because I was driving home to go to New York to see my parents from Baton Rouge, and Springfield, Missouri was a little bit out of the way, but I figured I'd drive through and see her. So that Friday, I was supposed to go see her. On Thursday, this guy that she was dating just broke off with her completely unannounced on a Thursday, and I show up into town on a Friday, and it was like we met. And at that point in time, I knew that I had to get my life back with Christ. I knew that I had to turn away and repent for what I was doing over the last 3 years especially. And I told Julie that I don't care how many times I got to drive up and down from Baton Rouge to Springfield, Missouri. I want to get my life done right with Christ and develop a relationship and have us start dating again. So she said, well, before I can answer that, I want to be able to pray about it, so give me 2 weeks and I'll let you know. So I drove back up to New York, went and saw my parents, and 2 weeks later, I'm talking to Julie, and she said, yeah, I feel it's okay for us to start dating, so why don't we meet together down in Shreveport, and a number of things happened, other supernatural things happened. But from that railroad track experience, 5 months, Julie and I were married. Just think about that. She put a wedding together. We were married. That happened in June, and we were married in November. We've been married now 37 years. And I'm telling you that we know, the two of us, that God put us together. I look back at those men, and I realize that those are angels that God had put in my path to help me to come back. There's no doubt about it. And yet, we've gone through a lot through storms, Julie and I. And I just thank God for his, what he has for me is so much infinitely more and the mercy for me. And I thank God regularly for his mercy and his friendship. Yes, we have gone through a lot of storms together, but I know that God has given me the ultimate helpmate, and I will always thank God for going after me just like he did, for, as he did for Peter, and he calls him out of the boat to live the life that he is always meant to live. Life more than just an engineer. A life more than just an ordinary person. A life of infinitely more. So I just want to ask you, there's 3 points I want to ask you right now. I just thank God for what he's done in my life. And I'm asking the Lord right now to speak to you by the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to ask you 3 things here that we're going to go through. And that is, number one, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to Jesus and the new life for which he is calling you into. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and the new life has begun. Number two, I want you to give you an opportunity to respond and say yes to a life beyond your comfort zone. We would like to pray with you and have you be filled with the boldness and to be able to follow Jesus into every place that he calls you. I also want to give you an opportunity to respond and repent for walking away from your calling, your purpose, and that what you would do to renew your commitment and allow God to reinstate them and restore them into your life. So I just pray right now, before Pastor Brad comes and we follow through on this, I just pray that the Holy Spirit, which that is speaking to you right now, that you draw the line in the sand and you make a decision for yes to Jesus Christ, and you come towards him and just give him praise and thanks. And I just want to turn this over to Pastor Brad right now, and we ask for prayer, and you respond to it in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Ed. Appreciate that. I'm going to talk to first of all of you that are Christians, and maybe you have kind of wandered away a little bit. You've allowed whatever it is, grief or heartache or just poor decisions or apathy, whatever it is, that you've allowed to kind of let you slide away. I'm going to ask you to follow through right now, because God has infinitely more, but he's waiting for you, and you might need to repent and ask him to forgive you and get back on track so that you can step in. You don't want to end this life with regret. You don't want to end it like that, when God has so much more for you. And now let me talk to those of you that have never invited Christ to come into your life. You can't even begin to fathom the amazing life that he has for you. You can't even picture it. You think if you've become a Christian, life is going to be boring and monotonous, and it's going to be anything but. You'll start an adventure that you could never even dream of. Take it from me. It's been almost 50 years for me, and it has been amazing. And in a lot of ways, easy? No. Amazing? Yes. But you know what? You've got to make the decision today. You've got to ask God to forgive you of your sins and how you've offended him. You've got to invite Christ to come into your life and give you a new life. You got to do that. I can't do that. I'm challenging you to do that today, because what he has available to you is infinitely more than what you could ask, think, or imagine. And that's where we're going in this series, but more importantly, that's where he wants to take you in your life. So as we wrap up, we're going to sing a song, we're going to wrap up. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask you, if you're a Christian and you say, man, I got to get back on track here. God has more for me than what I'm doing. Then you know what to do. Ask him to forgive you and get back on track. And if you're not a Christian, you've never invited Christ to come into your life, today is your day. Ask him to forgive you. Just simply, this is a prayer like this. God, forgive me and set me on a brand new path today. Let me experience infinitely more than what I could ask, think, or imagine. A simple prayer like that. And if you've done that today, I'm going to ask you to text the word, one word, new life. Day 860-969-2145. It's there. It'll come up too on the screen. I'm asking you to do that, so we can just rejoice with you as you step into infinitely more. Father, I'm just trusting you that for every single person, God, whether it be a Christian that says, I got to get back on track, I got to turn around, I got to move into what God has for me. Or somebody that doesn't know you, but is today making a decision to follow Jesus into infinitely more. God, I pray that both would step in today and receive the amazing adventure that awaits them. May they not trade it for something far less. Thanks, Lord. Amen. Come on, join us. We're going to sing this one song. I'll come back and close this out. Let's sing this song. Thanks, Caitlin.
Glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be all.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We appreciate that. We'll be back Wednesday night on Zoom at 6:30 as we continue our little short series on Zephaniah, talking about revival, how a prophet and a king teamed up to see revival. I mean, nation-changing revival come. That's what we're going to look at on this Wednesday night. But again, connect with us. If you want text message updates, you can just send the word connect to the number. If you've committed your life to Christ today, send the word new life, one word, that same number. If you need prayer, you can do the same thing. Just prayer at that, and it'll tell you how to just receive prayer. And then immediately following this, there are a group of people, and you can go to Zoom. It's the same number. It's not a mistake. It's the same number. There are people standing by right now to pray for you, one-on-one in a private Zoom room. So just use that same number, 860-969-2145, and it'll log you in there. Lord, thank you so much for this chance to be together. Lord, we are looking forward to being physical and in person, but until that day, thanks so much for this. Be glorified, I pray, through our lives, and help us to step into immeasurably, infinitely more. Thanks, Father. Amen. God bless you. Thanks so much for being with us at Seaport today.